Now then, a very good morning to you. Welcome to the papers. Today is Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. I'm Richie Allen. As usual, as ever, thank you for downloading this old podcast. Thank you. It is a wet and windy one in Salford this morning, but I tell you, there's no cold in it. There is no cold in it, to be sure, to be sure. And that's nice, isn't it? Getting out early in morning, no cold in it, and it's bright now. Dawn has broken. It's 4 minutes past six as I sit down to record this, and dawn has broken over the great city of Salford. I will now take a look at the front pages of today's Daily. The Sun claims to have put to bed once and for all one of the most intriguing conspiracy theories of recent days. And that is the conspiracy theory that something has happened to the Princess of Wales, the wife of the Prince of Wales. We're talking about Kate Middleton. The internet has been ablaze with conspiracy theories about this woman who had an operation around about Christmas time on her abdomen and hasn't been seen since. Lots of theories about whether she left him, whether something had happened to her. The Sun has a photograph, a still image taken from a video. The headline is, "Great to see you again, Kate." A photograph, an image of her, out and about. She was spotted by a member of the public shopping at a farm shop in Windsor alongside her husband's. A husband even. After weeks of wild conspiracy theories and online bullying, says The Sun. Online bullying. There you are. No need to worry anymore. Kate is alive and well. And looking well, according to The Sun. It hasn't stopped the conspiracy theories, though. I had a quick look around Twitter, and there are a number of claims by people that it is an artificially intelligence-generated image, that it is a body double. It's not really Kate. It only leads to more questions than answers, according to some. The Daily Mail has the same photograph. The image the world has been waiting to see, smiling Kate out with William. Also on the front page of the Daily Mail, Harry and Meghan are downgraded by the palace. Ah, sure, yeah. Harry and Meghan have been downgraded on the official Royal Family website, royalfamily.co.uk. No, that's not it. It's not it. Entitleddickheads.com, that's not it either. Lazysoandsos.co.uk, that's not it either. Profiles of Prince Harry and Meghan have been replaced with a much shorter entry, according to the Mail. The paper's front page, yeah, going with royal stories. The picture of William and Kate and the news of the downgrading. The Daily Express headline, "Migrants chosen for first flight to Rwanda in spring," is the headline. This bullshit Rwanda bill went to the House of Lords last week. The House of Lords sent it back to the Commons with some recommended amendments. Last night, the House of Commons rejected the House of Lords amendments. It now goes back to the House of Lords. Next week, the House of Lords might just pass it now and say, okay. According to, it's a ridiculous plan, this, you know, to deport migrants to Rwanda for processing instead of processing them here. Anyway, according to the Express, they've already selected 200 lucky migrants to be on the flights if and when the Lord says, okay, we pass the bill. When the Lords finally say OK, it'll go to Buckingham Palace to receive royal assent. That is how bills become law in this ridiculous country. They're all ridiculous, by the way, countries. This is the one I'm happiest in at the moment. At the moment. So yes, 200 migrants selected for the first flight to Rwanda, according to the Daily Express. The Times. Number of stories in the front page of the Times. Interesting. One of them is fasting linked to increased risk from heart attacks and strokes. You know that fasting is the latest fad for so-called A-listers A-listers are like celebrities, like properly recognisable celebrities. Then you have B and C listers. I had a good laugh with Caroline a few years ago. We were in San Carlo restaurant in Manchester. It's an Italian restaurant. And it is allegedly frequented by so-called celebrities. It isn't the most expensive restaurant in Manchester. It's not the most affordable either. We were on a treat for ourselves. You know, meal for two, starter, main course, desserts with a nice bottle of wine is going to set you back about 130 quid for a couple. It's not cheap, but it's not the worst. You know, there are worse places in Manchester. We were treating ourselves. We wouldn't eat there every week or every month. Just in case you think like, Jesus, Richie is swimming in it. We're certainly not swimming in it, but we were treating ourselves. But we had a funny encounter. We were sitting there at a table and there was a bloke sitting next to us. And Caroline says to me, that guy, he's weird. He keeps looking at you and me and then he keeps looking away. And then he's on his phone and he's looking around. This young guy, you know, and we found it kind of comical, this guy. And eventually Caroline says hello to him and he looked away. He kind of had his nose in the air. You know, that kind of dismissive kind of look. He just kind of ignored her right next to us. We laughed anyway. But we noticed that the maitre d' was all over this guy. You know, was talking to him and he was very attentive to him. Not so attentive to us, you know, the two pikeys sitting down. Waiting to order. And in the end we called over a waiter and we said to him kind of discreetly, who's this bloke sitting alongside us? He seems to be acting a bit weird, and you know, the head waiter seems to be all over the guy. And conspiratorially the waiter we spoke to, he said he was on The Only Way Is Essex, and I just burst out laughing, like proper belly laughs. I said, right, I'm not familiar with that programme, but I know it's some stupid fucking reality show, right? Yeah, so the guy was giving it the big I am, this idiot, who was on some reality show that most people have never watched. So there are celebrities, there are proper celebrities, and then there are dipsticks who've been on reality TV. And dipsticks who are on reality TV are very much into fasting as a fad. Now, I've interviewed people on the Richie Allen Show who believe that fasting is good for your health. I'm not dismissing it out of hand, but the Times is running a story this morning saying that it is linked to heart attacks and strokes. So I don't know. Is it some silly celebrity fad, or B or C list celebrity fad, or is there something to it? I don't know. The main story on the front page of the Times, Sunak risks losing key votes on Rwanda bill. Okay. The Commons rejected changes to the proposals, as I've already said, by the House of Lords, but peers from Labour and other parties are expected to continue to try and alter the plans in the Lords, according to the Times. So I've given you the gist of it, right? Went to the House of Lords last week after the bill got through the Commons. The Lords says, no, you should change it. Here's a couple of proposed changes. Last night, the Commons said, no, we're not changing it. It'll go back to the Lords. The Times reckons that Labour and other parties, their peers in the House of Lords, will try and change it again. We'll see. The Metro. Celebrity. 16-8 fast doubles risk of dying. Metro leads on a study. As I've said, it's already, it's in the Times. Intermittent fasting and eating regime where adherence restrict food intake to limited hours in the day almost doubles the risk of dying from cardiovascular disease. Apparently Rishi Sunak partakes in the fasting thing. The Daily Telegraph, Reeves, Britain faces 1979 moment. Well, Reeves is Rachel Reeves, and she's Labour's shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer. If Labour wins the next election, as may be likely, although I think if it does win, it'll have to go into coalition with a number of other parties. Anywho, Reeves is promising a 1979 moment, referring to the election of the Tory MP Margaret Thatcher that particular year. Today she will give a speech where she will promise a decade of national renewal if her party is elected. There's also a very interesting story on the front page of the Telegraph. We'll come back to it. Councils launch new war on motorists as half of drivers face fines. We'll come back to it. The Daily Mirror has an exclusive with Keir Starmer, and it is referenced on the first page. I will not let you down, Keir Starmer tells Mirror readers. Sure you will. The I. Energy customers set for payouts worth billions in scandal that's bigger than PPI. So the I says energy firms could be forced to pay out billions to customers after a judge ruled that the power firm Engie hid additional fees in business bills. Hundreds of thousands of firms could be affected, with which the paper says could make the PPI scandal look like peanuts. Okay. Might try and get into that. If not now, certainly on the Richie Allen show later on. And the Financial Times leads with Deloitte launches biggest shake-up in a decade as market slowdown looms. The Daily Star, this time next year, we'll be bullion heirs, is the headline. And that's a story in the Star about divers who intend to recover gold bullion, apparently worth about £13 billion. The gold sank to the bottom of the Caribbean after a British ship sunk a Spanish galleon 315 years ago. The paper says there is uncertainty over who owns the haul. There is some maritime law, as far as I remember. You know, it's a finder's keeper's law, effectively. Whoever gets down there and retrieves the gold coins or the gold treasure owns it under maritime law. Now, that might be determined by how far away from the coastline of any individual country the bullion is. But as far as I understand it, as I remember reading years ago, Robert Ballard, who discovered the Titanic's resting place, but he was also working for the US government, wasn't he? Spying on the Russians at the same time. Robert Ballard said that one of his greatest regrets was not claiming the Titanic as his own, as was his right under maritime law. And he said he regretted it because subsequently, over the years, divers have gone down and have basically destroyed the wreck. Anyway, those were the front pages of the papers. This Tuesday is the 19th of March, 2024. Let's go inside. This is a really interesting one. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. I've never held one in my hand. I've mentioned this too many times on the Richie Allen Show. It's not me pontificating, you know, or it's not me being superior in any way. I don't think I'm superior, but I detest smoking. I think it's fucking ridiculous, to be honest. I really do. But I'm a liberal. You know, I'm a live and let live guy. As long as what you are doing isn't impacting on me, you do whatever you bloody well want. Has been my philosophy throughout my life, right? Sunak braces for backlash, a smoking ban bill to be introduced in Commons. So according to The Guardian, this policy by Sunak, which will effectively make it almost impossible for the next generation to buy cigarettes legally. This bill will be introduced in Parliament this week, but he's bracing himself for a backlash from Tory rebels. Now, the policy, according to The Guardian, commands considerable support in the Tory ranks. The scale of an expected rebellion by libertarian Tories, whose ranks include people like Liz Truss, has yet to become clear. Sources involved in lobbying to defeat the bill claim as many as 80 to 100 MPs are unhappy, setting up a scenario whereby Sunak would be reliant on Labour for what may yet emerge as one of his few legacy policies. So how does it work? Well, The Guardian was the first newspaper to report this story. If Sunak has his way and it becomes law, anyone born on or after January the 1st, 2009, so basically anyone who is 14 or younger today, will not legally be able to buy cigarettes in England during their lives, because under Sunak's plans, the smoking age is raised by 1 year every year. So the age by which where it's legal to buy cigarettes would raise 1 year every year, year on year, meaning if you're 14 now, you won't be able to buy cigarettes legally until you're about 30, you know, or something along those lines, or 28. So it's a ridiculous policy. It's fucking foolish, right? It really is. The Exchequer, the government rakes in billions of pounds a year through taxing cigarettes and tobacco products. This to me is a nonsense, because as far as I understand it, smoking rates have been declining for years. As far as I understand it, I haven't had time to look into it this morning. But younger people, I hate that term, younger people, it's very patronising. But 20-somethings, I believe, are far, far less likely to smoke than when I was a 20-something, when a lot of people seem to be smoking. You don't see people out and about smoking anymore. When I was a younger lad, and you'd be out and about, you'd see people smoking as they went about their business. You don't see this so much anymore. A lot of vaping going on. So I don't know what's really going on here. I really don't. I mean, on the one hand, you want to be supportive of anything which makes it not difficult. I don't want to be telling people what to do, but smoking is terribly unhealthy. Because a cigarette carries a lot of carcinogens, right? So I don't know. Maybe you'll have something to say about it. Maybe we'll get into it on a Richie Allen show, you know. As I said, I hate titles. I hate, you know, pigeonholes. But I am generally a liberal guy. What you do is your own business, so long as it isn't adversely impacting others. And if you're smoking outside, you know, and you're doing your own thing, well, you're not really impacting on anybody else. So I don't really support banning people. But I also know these things are terribly unhealthy. This is a ridiculous policy. So we'll leave that there. That's The Guardian, one of the main stories. Mail, Daily Mail. Trump hints he could deport Prince Harry from the US if he wins the election. This is bollocks, right? So Nigel Farage, who presents for GB News these days, has gone to America to interview Donald Trump. Now, when you say interview, try not to laugh out loud. Farage is a lapdog for Donald Trump. He really is. He looks at Trump with puppy dog eyes, you know. Farage wants to be Trump, effectively, and loves him. And trumpets and often boasts about his relationship with Trump. So he's not interviewed him. It's pathetic to claim that Nigel Farage has interviewed Donald Trump. He hasn't. He's lobbed up a few softball questions for Trump to bat back over the net. It is pathetic. But the spectre, the subject of Prince Harry came up because Harry has admitted taking illegal drugs during his youth and during his teenage years and his early adult years, something he never declared on his visa application when he went to America on his visa firm. So Farage asked Trump, this is pathetic, bullshit, culture war, clickbait nonsense. If you're a president, would you kick him out of the country if you find that he lied about drug use in his visa application? And Trump was kind of non-committal on it, really. He has previously said, yeah, I would get rid of him. But in his interview with Trump, he was kind of non-committal. He asked Farage, basically, well, what do you think? What do you think? He asked Farage. It's bullshit, really. Clickbait, nonsense. The interesting thing about Harry's revelations over the years, for me, as a, you know, independent radio presenter, is that he said he used ayahuasca, didn't he, Harry? Which I'm interested in, not interested in taking, but I'm interested in what ayahuasca does for people. How people have found it very useful in expanding their minds and broadening their horizons and sometimes helping overcome trauma and stuff like that. I've gotten into it on the programme with people over the years. So that's the Daily Mail. Trump, deport Harry, what a load of bollocks. The Telegraph, councils launch new war on motorists as half of drivers face fines. I was very interested this morning. I was listening to an overnight programme on BBC Radio 5 Live, a live programme, as I was in the park at 4:45 a.m. this morning. Are you bragging, Bully, when you talk about... Yeah, I am, I'm bragging. Because while you lazy bastards are over in bed turning over for your second or third dream, I'm out there with the puppies at 4:45 in the morning thinking about the papers and thinking about the Richie Allen Show. You better start supporting the Richie Allen Show, by the way. Go to richieallen.co.uk where it says support your show. There are bank account details there. Please support it. If you listen to it, I work bloody hard for you, he says. Right. Okay. So yeah, 4:45. I'm listening to an overnight show and some dizzy bint is on there talking about how it's a conspiracy theory. There are lots of conspiracy theorists who... She was reading this story on the Telegraph, right? And she was saying, conspiracy theorists love this stuff. They talk about this conspiracy theory to get rid of all cars and get motorists off the road permanently. Yeah, she's a dizzy bint on the BBC. It's exactly what they're trying to do. More than half of drivers face being fined for traffic offences by councils under a new war on motorists, according to the Telegraph. So local authorities are inventing new and exotic ways to fine drivers for basically bugger all, okay? And they're saying in the Telegraph that one of the reasons for this is that councils are going bust. Councils are declaring bankruptcy left, right and centre, despite the fact that every council in the UK has been putting up council tax year on year by the permitted 5% increase. So they are fucking fleecing people right across the country with their council tax. Taxation without representation. That's what they're doing. And they're saying, we're broke. We're broke. We need more money. So now, according to the Telegraph, 52 of 119 newly eligible local authorities have been granted the powers to enforce moving traffic offences. So they're watching drivers increasingly more and more. Oh, you turned down a street you shouldn't have turned down. That's a fine. Oh, you accidentally encroached on a bus lane. That's a fine. The AA have said this is like treating drivers like wallets on wheels. It is. There is that. But ultimately, this is part of their Agenda 2030 plan. They want cars gone. Full stop. Except completely unaffordable self-driving electric vehicles, which the great majority of people will not be able to afford. They want you taking local transport, public transport, and they want you living in 15-minute cities. That's what this is all about. And we're tired of talking about it on the Richie Allen Show. It's obvious. It isn't a conspiracy theory. It is obvious what they are doing. The Telegraph. You'll probably see photographs of this today. Rishi Sunak hosted Barack Obama yesterday for, quote, informal talks, according to the Telegraph. Obama was seen strolling along Downing Street without a care in the world. You know, there's a guy. There's a guy who looks like he's not got a care in the world. Yeah, there's a guy responsible for the deaths of millions of people. More bombs were dropped by Obama and his administration than combined, by the way, Bill Clinton and George W. Bush. That is a fact. More bombs dropped on nations that have never threatened or attacked the United States during Obama's watch than on the combined watches of George W. Bush and Bill Clinton. What a fucking chalk ice Barack Obama turned out to be. Do you remember the joyous celebrations by African Americans when he was elected president? They didn't want to listen to people like me and people with far bigger profiles than me, by the way, let's be honest about it, who said this will amount to nothing. This guy is an Uncle Tom. He is an establishment whore. Oh, by God, he was, wasn't he? Just look at Libya. But I could be here all day long. Yes. Anywho, wait for this. According to the Telegraph, he went inside number 10 for an hour-long meeting with the Prime Minister, during which the pair discussed artificial intelligence over cups of tea. Do you like a cup of tea there, Barack? You would? I would. How'd you take it? Milk and three sugars. What do you want, Barack? I just thought I'd pop over for a chat about artificial intelligence. Ah, grand. Grand. Sure, I've got 20 minutes. Number 10 said the visit was a courtesy given that Obama was already in the country on other business. Of course he was. He was there to meet Blair, probably, and Blair's foundation, where they're plotting vaccinating the bejesus out of the poorest people in the world to make sure they don't have any babies. You know, these little scumbags. I'm not going to go full Gerald Celente, the great Gerald. I'll keep quiet. I'll calm down. They sat down and they talked about artificial intelligence over cups of tea. Sure they did. It's also quite possible that Obama was sent in to tell Sunak, listen, pal, your time is up now. You do know that, don't you? I've been sent here to tell you your time is up. It's going to be Labour next. So just play ball or we'll release those Epstein videos. Maybe, but that's maybe just me fantasising. The Times, protesters cannot use beliefs as vandalism defence court rules. This is interesting. Senior judges have confirmed that protesters do not gain legal carte blanche to vandalise property and then argue that they believe the victims were supporting their cause. So senior judges have said no longer can it be used as a defence after you go and spray paint on the offices of BP, for example, BP Oil, you cannot use as your defence that your victim, in this case BP Oil, is doing something terrible to the planet, that your ideology is your defence and that you're protecting the planet. Can't do that anymore. Senior judges, three Court of Appeal judges have ruled no. When environmental protesters use this defence in the future, they won't get away with it. It's as simple as that. So climate protesters, environment protesters, and racist or anti-racist protesters who want to tear down statues and stuff and then say, but it's my belief and this is harmful. And judges in the future will say, fuck off. You're going down, son. You're going down. You're going down, son. Victoria Prentice, the Attorney General, referred a case to the Court of Appeal to Baroness Carr of Walton on the Hill. She's the Lady Chief Justice. She's the most senior judge in England and Wales. Her and two of her colleagues, Justice William Davis and Justice Garnham, sat down and said, no, no, you can't just vandalise things and property and then say it's because of your political or philosophical beliefs. Fuck off. You'll be fined and in some cases you will go to jail. I say good enough. That's the opinion of the baldy gammon. The Mirror. NASA reveals message in a bottle for aliens to be sent to Jupiter moon with clues about humanity. NASA is planning to send a cryptic human message to Europa, one of Jupiter's icy moons, because NASA believes the moon is an ideal place for alien life. Last year, it announced its message in a bottle campaign, which will be sent to Jupiter via the Europa Clipper spacecraft. Now, the mission won't take off until sometime in October this year, and it won't reach the moon until 2031. So don't get too excited about it. If you think there are aliens on the moon of Europa and you're waiting on tenterhooks for a reply, they won't receive the message until 2031. Wow. As part of the campaign, the public was asked to sign their names. And now more than 2.6 million people's names have been etched into a microchip which will be sent up into space, only around the size of a dime, a 10-cent coin. The chip was created at the Micro Devices Lab at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Los Angeles. So they're sending a message in a bottle to Europa and hoping that aliens will read it and get in touch. But as I said, you've got to wait 7 years. Oh, bit of a stretch there. 7 years until it gets there, so don't be too excited. We're going to finish with one in the Times. COVID generation facing development time bomb. Now, you might be inclined to say, tell us something we don't know, and I hear you. But it is interesting because a coalition of 200 charities, more than 200 charities and health professionals have said the decline in development among kids born during the pandemic is a ticking time bomb. They're calling for urgent action. The group includes the National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, the Parent Infant Foundation and the Institute of Health Visiting. They believe, and others, the pandemic and cost of living crisis means, or has meant, the health of the coronavirus generation has plummeted to the lowest rankings amongst other comparable nations. Wait till you hear this. Keith Reed, the chief executive of the Parent Infant Foundation, said by age two, one in five toddlers are behind their expected developmental progress in the national checks undertaken. He said by age two, one in five toddlers are behind their expected developmental progress in the national checks undertaken, and it builds, so it's a ticking time bomb. The pandemic is still having an effect on some toddlers, he said. Babies born in the pandemic were the ones that didn't socialise with other babies. They weren't seen by professionals as much. Recent research from the Early Years Charitable Foundation, Kindred, found that 24% of school starters were not yet toilet trained. It found that developmental delays such as this can take up to 2.5 hours out of the teaching day. Teachers are struggling to cope. Language skills are not where they should be either. With communication skills, children being way behind, again because of the not socialising as much as children would have done before the whole COVID scam. Again, you might say, tell us something we don't know, but it's very serious, isn't it? Let me very briefly look at the BBC News website. There are a number of reports on violence in Haiti, which Haiti is a basket case at the moment. I don't know if you've been following it. It's basically a failed state. I won't get into it here. I don't know if I can get some decent comment on it on the Richie Allen show, but I'll try. It's crazy what's going on there. Number of websites covering it, the BBC covering it today. US reports death of senior Hamas military leader. That's also on the BBC as well. Rwanda bill amendments overturned in Commons vote. Yes, we said that already. The Commons have sent it back to the Lords. Crowds flock to new Banksy tree mural in London. Childcare shortage worsens as costs rise. That's not new either. Well, that's about it really from the papers today. The Richie Allen Show will be live at 4 o'clock UK time this afternoon. And as usual, I hope you can join me there. Listen to me. In the meantime, have a good rest of your Tuesday. It's Tuesday, the 19th of March. That's right. One day is the same as the other for me. Thanks for listening to the Papers podcast. Do share it with others. And if you can, do listen to it on iTunes and help it maintain its place on the charts. If nothing else, just to make me laugh. Slán tamall. Bye.